This is not a podcast about whether or not Ukraine and Russia should be at war. This is actually an episode about what Canada has spent money on to assist the Ukraine in fighting a war against Russia. And today, I'll be joined by Roger Tumanuri, our in-house economist, to talk more about this and find out more about what the dollars we've sent to the Ukraine are really doing. As of October 2024, Canada has committed over $19.5 billion in total aid to the Ukraine, with $4.5 billion specifically for military assistance. By June 2025, an additional $1.5 billion in military aid has been sent to the Ukraine. And this summer, a fresh military package valued at $2 billion was announced. All of this at a time where Canada is struggling with an economy that is, challenging to say the very least. Roger Tumanuri, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Mike. You're absolutely right. We're at a time right now economically where our country is hurting.
Yeah.
We don't have the money to do this. And I'm sorry if that's frank, but I think that's the case.
Well, we just came to the realization that we are over $1 trillion in debt.
Yes.
Post-COVID spending is spun out of control and seems not to be reined in.
Yes.
And at the same time, we're out there financing a situation that seems beyond our reach financially.
We can't afford it. I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do by not supporting a country like Ukraine, but we just don't have the money to do that. That would be like my family not being able to support your family, but I'm going to do it anyway.
The other thing is a lot of this money through NATO, as we understand it now, has been, you know, earmarked for things we don't ever have an accounting of because they are not required to provide one to us. Of course, we do have, you know, some of the stuff that we've provided them, Leopard tanks, the Rochelle Senator APCs. You know, there's been some commitment now from this new tranche of money to the Ukraine to co-produce drones. So we can see where some of this spending has gone, but billions and billions have gone into the coffers of the Ukraine. What are they doing with that money?
Okay, that's an excellent point. So before doing a bit of research for this show, I just assume, like perhaps you might have or our audience, that most of the funds that were going to help support Ukraine were to help support the war effort. In my mind, that equated to material, war material, like guns and ammunition.
Fair. Yeah, well, it sounds reasonable.
Fair, yeah. Right? And that's what we have done, and those numbers are what you just read out. So we have done that, but we've also given billions of dollars to Ukraine for other means.
To operate
their government and to pay the pensions of Ukrainians.
So we're in a situation where our Canadian pension is one of the biggest expenditures on our books.
Yes.
And we're also supporting the pensions of another country.
Yeah.
I wonder how Canadians would feel about that. How do you feel about that?
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah,
my first impression, I was shocked.
I'm a little shocked.
I think we struggle here at the best of times to pay our own pensioners, and now we're paying other people's pensions.
The other thing is, it feels to me, just on that note, before you tell me how you think this translates, not only that, but we're widely ignored in the process of making these donations.
We as in the people?
Yeah.
100%. I don't think there was any consultation. We reacted like most nations in a knee-jerk fashion, I think, for what it's worth. And then I think we just jumped in with 2 feet and went full bore behind the Ukraine. And I'm not saying that's wrong. They need help, and they need help from Western countries like Canada. But I think it's worth noting where this money is going and how much of it is going to things like supporting the war effort, like the physical war effort through tanks and guns and ammunition, versus some of the social aspects to this funding. Like we have economic assistance that we're offering the Ukraine to the tune of $12.3 billion.
I mean, that they have a loan, they have interest-free, essentially, loans that they can use as well.
Correct. We're giving them money for loans, but the money that they owe us from the loans that they've taken out, we've said Okay, you don't have to pay until March 2027. So there's some loan forgiveness. Fair. they're in a situation there. They've been invaded and they're fighting a war. But, you know, in addition to the money that we're paying to support them economically, we're supporting them on a humanitarian basis as well. And since January 2022, we've committed $372.2 million to Ukraine in humanitarian assistance.
Now, I'm going to say something that may not be popular and it may not even be accurate, but I'm under the impression that prior to this invasion that they experienced, the Ukraine was not always free of corruption. There was a certain amount of corruption that Ukraine was actually known for. It behooves me to wonder if a certain amount of corruption is still occurring while this war is covering it up.
My first question would be, are the same people still there that were corrupt before the war?
Yeah. I mean, there was a coup. We know that. But did it quell corruption prior to that? Tough to say. But without an accounting at all, and it's a rule of NATO and just accepted, we don't have to have any sort of accounting for what's going on there. This also is very interesting. The $2 billion that just went out the door from Mark Carney. So
yes.
There was a bunch of money spent by Trudeau.
Yes.
Committed by Trudeau to this effort. And then Carney has come in and committed more, and then committed more again. Most recently, absent from a photo where all of the contributors to the war effort around the world were in a lovely photo, the one person missing, of course, was Mark Carney. I think this made him feel badly, because within about a week, there he was arriving to the Ukraine with another $2 billion so that he could have his photo op with Zelensky. That's what it feels like to me. I think it feels that way to a lot of Canadians.
I've heard that before. Yeah, that's been talked about a little bit in the last couple of days. So,
but he hasn't presented a budget.
No.
He hasn't presented the expenditures of last year.
No.
And he is committing billions of dollars at a time where we know we don't have the money.
Yeah, we don't have the money. So I'm not sure where it's coming from. Maybe he knows.
It's a budget that's not known to us.
But it's not being communicated to the people. So all we have left are the facts, and we're just going to talk about what money is going where without any judgment as to whether or not that's right or wrong.
But it feels wrong to make a judgment call.
It feels wrong to make a judgment call. But I think it's right to bring this up and to question this and have public discourse, some dialogue around this. These are big numbers.
These are big numbers.
And it's coming at a time where our country doesn't have that much money to be spending. And I'm not saying we need to pull back and not help other nations, but I think it's just important that Canadians are aware as to A, how much money we're giving to Ukraine, and B, where is it supposedly going?
Well, a broader development support fund was put together, $700 million, I think it was, including energy systems and reconstruction. We've committed hundreds of millions of dollars to that, to reconstructing this country as it is being dismantled.
Yeah.
Which I think is important, because that's, I would assume, how we're going to start to get our money back.
Through development and reconstruction, yeah. And that makes total sense. But some of the money that we're giving to Ukraine isn't necessarily going towards that. For example, we've committed approximately $700 million in development assistance to fund areas like inclusive governance and economic growth and gender equality. So these are things that I wouldn't necessarily suspect a war-torn nation to require or to put their hand up and ask for.
So what you're saying is we handed off virtue signaling money that said, please spend it on these things that are important to Canadians.
You said it, not me. These things are important to us, or supposedly to Canadians.
Therefore, you must spend this money on doing
that. So here's the money. If you want it, you can have it, but you need to spend it on things like addressing the needs of victims of sexual and gender-based violence, supporting mental health, agriculture, and energy.
Agriculture and energy, I do understand. Yeah. Once again, that's how you rebuild a nation. I think that the other concerns should be the ongoing concerns of that government.
Of that government and their people, their way of life, their customs.
Under their own direction.
not to be influenced by a foreign nation in terms of what you mentioned as virtue signaling.
Yeah, here's our virtues. Now you must take on our virtues to have this money. That is a very weird feeling.
Yeah. And especially at a time where I think our quote-unquote virtues are changing. They're changing the states, and I think that shift is going to come to Canada as well.
I think a certain amount of this military spending will certainly protect the borders between the Ukraine and Russia, protecting a certain amount of the world. It is devastating what has happened to the Ukraine, and the people of the Ukraine, certainly our hearts go out to them. But I have to ask if you feel that Canada can afford to be at this party.
No, it just seems right now, Mike, I don't think we can go to any party. We just can't afford it.
Yeah.
We should be at these parties. We're a G7 nation.
Are we, though?
Are we? I was going to say supposedly, right? We go to the G7 party, but we're the guy in the corner that can't afford to be at the party.
That's what it feels like. Roger, thank you so much. More as the operation and the war continues in Ukraine, and we'll keep an eye on spending in other places. It's good to have an economist on board. Thanks so much, man.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next time. Don't forget to subscribe, tell a friend, and like and comment. I know the vests are not exactly that becoming on me, and my hair is getting even more shinier on my head as it disappears. Those comments are always welcome. And more, interact and tell us how you're feeling. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.